This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
Welcome to Jikoji. Some of us have been sitting. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay. Some of us have been sitting on this past week in a meditation retreat, so we're a little spaced out. And I've been giving talks every evening. And so I'm wondering what to talk to you about. I've been thinking, if you're new to Buddhism, it's based on, well, there's 84,000 Dharma gates, they say. So the one that's taught here from our teacher, Fowen, came from Japan. In Japanese, it's Shikantaza. It's translated, best is themeless sitting. So it's difficult to give instruction. you have to try it, and then we get together and discuss how's it going for you. But it's also like, I don't really want to use the word enlightenment, but it's the sudden enlightenment school. You just drop into it. You don't do things to prepare yourself. The preparation, so to speak, happens while you're sitting. And content of this sitting is your own mind, which at first seems like it's yours. And as you continue, you start to develop some permeability and recognize that this mind isn't belonging to anybody. It's all things arise from mind. One of the aspects we didn't get into during this week was we were exploring the content of mind and how things arise and dissipate. And that's part of the practice of this themeless sitting, just to sit present and aware, not using cognition, but this awareness is beyond self. Observing, being aware of things as they arise and as they dissipate, without attaching to them or developing them. Some thought comes and you see it, and you may even see yourself from this broader view going, oh, look at that, that's cool. And you let that go as well. As you catch it, you let it just, as you catch yourself, your mind, little mind, trying to develop these things, you just let it be. Give it up. And some sense of space starts to, in yourself, you start to get some sense of space, which then there's connectivity to other things. And one of the things that we didn't get to this week is so much about how to move in the world, how to, like when we get up from our cushion, we talked about getting up and how we maintain our meditation posture, both physically and in our posture of the mind as we rise up to meet what's coming next, what's going to appear next. And the other part of it is that as we, particularly as we move, stay with this awareness, and you'll find that there's you have some intention or some vow that you bring or karma that you have the opportunity to shift that. Because as you bring that out, it hits this field of mind and causes vibration, which manifests as something. Could be thoughts, could be action. And so to consider those things, we have this structure in the Zendo of, and Buddhism in general has a structure of behavior or beliefs. And you can follow those, certainly. We chanted some just now. But you can develop your own keen understanding of the direction you're taking. So there's this bit about language that doesn't work so well as we say I and you and but in the big, big picture, there is no I. So I was going to introduce these attributes that are one of the sets. There's several sets. But I want to be clear that the best way to approach these is through developing that sense of space, the big mind, and they appear naturally. So the first one, these are the six paramitas that are the paramitas crossing over to the other shores, how it's described. But in that activity or that concept of crossing over, you realize it's the same shore that you're on right now. There's no place you have to go. So generosity is the first one. It's pretty obvious, but it's giving freely to others and to yourself. Sometimes you need some giving. And again, I say self, this is operating in the field of what we call ourself, this construct, which you will find someday may just completely collapse and be reassembled. This can happen over and over, but all beings are included in this sense of generosity. And the other one is discipline, which is to continue to explore this so you find yourself at home and watching a movie on TV or something, and you can register what you're doing and into this bigger awareness, develop a sense of space, and then back to the movie. Back and forth, you can. It's like flexing, you know, as you, when it arises, you remember. Big mind, big awareness, observing, watching TV, and then that collapses and back to it. It's more complex than that. It also could go into sense of morality, like behaving in accordance with this, accordance to the way. I see Elizabeth, or you were talking about it earlier. But to be in accord with this bigger mind. Then there's patience, which is the common patience of dealing with things that arise in a patient, compassionate way. My grandson is crying, I have to go see. Oh, what's the matter? I bring comfort to him. But it's also the ability not to be disturbed by anything that appears. So, because you have this seat that you've developed, and it's unassailable, this posture, more in the mind than physically. I'm going to skip that couple. Jump to wisdom, which is direct insight. It's what the Heart Sutra is chanting, that prajnaparamita is wisdom. So it's the penetrating understanding. And when you find it, it's good to check yourself about it, because as you go into your regular day out in the world, something's going to come up, and you what? Oh, I didn't have patience. So, you can go around this circle. The other one is, it's part of the wisdom, which is skillful means, which is really how to deal with people. And it gets more and more esoteric and subtle, all of these. The skillful means in particular, Trungpa Rinpoche writes about it beautifully, about having compassion, or sometimes it's, he calls it idiot compassion, will appear, and you have to be able to see. So it's good to come talk or read, and that's why we gathered this week, is so that we had the opportunity to bounce things off each other and see how we're doing. And there's one other one that's falls under wisdom, but it's jnana paramita, and that's like gnosis, knowing God basically directly. So anyway, I'm going to leave it at that, and know that Buddhism is, or this practice, which is not, it has devotion in it, but it's not a devotional practice. It's something internal that other people may not even see you are exercising your mind this way, but it impacts everything, because as you, whether you know it or not, this, well, the way I see it is, all of you have awakened mind already, and you may have some doubt about that and need some refinement, but this awakened mind is all there is. It's just occluded sometimes, and so you you're looking for it because you don't recognize it yet. But this is awakened mind. And hope your practice goes well. And if you have any questions, now would be a good time. You're impatient? Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Take a breath. He was asking how to practice patience, that he's an impatient person. Well, I'm a fairly patient person, so I don't know. You can hang out with me and see how it goes. First, you can be, as you have, observe your impatience, your own impatience, as you said, you have. And allow yourself to be impatient. And in that way, you're being generous with yourself. And watch how that impatience affects other people, and using compassion, I guess is the word, loving kindness, you can, for yourself and the other people, you can see how they connect. Like how does it affect other people? Loving kindness, how can you? You can ask, how is this affecting you? How can I change this? That's the thing. Every moment we have the opportunity to change. We can insert, like I was saying, when your impulse comes, you have, it sets a vibration and something is created, and you can change what's inserted into the field. Well, it's really using a Western word. And I didn't grow up with any Western religion at all. My parents were atheists, nature lovers, maybe. But sometimes talking to people who, here in this country, they don't understand if I say primordial light. And so I throw out that word every once in a while. It's not, I don't have a particular belief in a, however it may be perceived by you, that makes it a trigger word. And also, I did go to a Catholic mass for a friend of mine. It was probably the first time I'd ever gone into a church. And I was watching the priests up very carefully, because sometimes I have to do hamahama up at the altar. And there were three of them. And at one point in the ceremony, this bolt of light came down right into the altar. And I went, whoa, they're doing it. And I guess it's known, there's a name for it. So, there's esoteric aspects of all religions that we can see across at that point, but it's sort of the everyday stuff. Things get used to control. It's okay if there's no questions, we can go outside too. You should really read Trungpa Rinpoche's section on it, seriously, because it's he's, but it's just wanting things to be a certain way. And if I take trying to make things better when without resolving the problem is idiot compassion, in my view. Trungpa Rinpoche has a more elaborate explanation, but whereas true compassion might be saying no, not okay. Good. Oh. Hundred and 8,000 prostrations, I think. Well, seriously, there's no attaining. Again, read the Heart Sutra. I mean, when Avalokiteshvara was practicing deeply the Prajnaparamita. And it goes on to say that there's nothing to attain. That's part of the realization. Why? Because this is it. I mean, when I say this is it, I mean in the most esoteric sense, this is manifest enlightened mind, what you're experiencing right now. What happens is, we have our beliefs and construct of how things should be that can sometimes interfere with our ability to witness it, to experience it. I don't know. What's what?
Hey, ready.
You want to know why, what I think about it, because everybody has their own reason.
So,
oh,
playing.
Well, I'll answer my view. There's several things. But one is, I mean, I can't answer for anybody why they came, really. But like some of you spent a lot of time with Coben, and I spent a lot of time with Coben practicing and living together. And that energetic is something I want to continue to put out, transmit, if you will. I feel like Coben dumped a lot of stuff into me through practice, being together, him being my teacher. And there was a point where it felt like this heavy ball I was carrying around of energy, like, I gotta get this delivered to the next generation. So that's part of it. The other part is Sangha practice, which is one of the manifestations of Buddha body. And to be able to gather like this, it gives us the opportunity to test out our understanding together so that we, you know, one of the things in the Dzogchen Tantras, they're often presented, the ones I'm reading, are often presented as we and an explanation. Like, we see blah, 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 blah. And it creates an image of a council of practitioners discussing the practice and then making a statement about it. So that's part of it, is to get together and discuss practice and ask questions of each other. The reason I'm sitting up here is because I'm the sacrifice. You give the talk. I'm like, no. Oh, yes, you're going to give the talk. So I hope it's helpful also. And, some of it too, you know, relatively recently I almost lost my mind and went way, way out there. And in coming back, I thought about the things I just mentioned, like how to enter back into this realm and why. And, you know, a lot of times people who have a rakusu have made some vows that are very traditional and been passed down. But I had to look at that again and basically set up, how am I going to rejoin the world? And so, and also like what that experience was of being beyond self and other, I wanted to say, not like, here's what happened, but also what the ancients wrote is correct. It's true. So when you read those words, it is absolutely coming from the place of no self or other, no birth and death. What did I mean when I said I rejoined the world? Without going into too much detail, it was considered a traumatic brain injury. What happened? So, knocked out of the world, but into a place that I was familiar with from sitting. So I knew what it was. And very consciously decided to come back. I've written some things down, but. Yeah, just so that I would remember. family, my wife, my sons, grandchildren, and the Sangha. And, you know, that I'm glad you asked, because one thing about Koven's style that was clear to me was, particularly at Hokoji, when he was alive and there, is that it was family-style practice. And he talked about no hierarchy. And everybody, each person having their own awakened mind and how we relate together like a family. Oh, which one? Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche. About compassion. I think it's, I don't remember the name of the book. There are several books that he has of his talks. Or maybe he even sat and wrote them down. But anybody know which one it's in? The one I know, it's yellow with red. I think it is in there. Cutting Through Spiritual Materialism, has a red Vajra symbol on it. You mean like a place to practice? I don't know. I don't live here. But you should know that there's an academic paper that's online. You can find it. And it talks about Dzogchen and Zen. And there's differences, but in essence, they're the same. It's just from Shakyamuni Buddha's awakening, the vibe spread and went north into Tibet and east into China and became Chan. And in the north, it became Dzogchen. And they're both, but it's the sudden school, not the progressive school. So it's different than Vajrayana as we know it in the United States, where you go through a series of practices. It's more like this type of practice where you just get lobbed into the deep end of the pool and like, what am I doing here? Nobody will tell me anything. And when they do, I don't understand. Dzogchen is like the apex of Vajrayana Buddhism. And so it's, you can read it when you read them, that it's looking down, so to speak, and saying all these accumulation practices, you don't need to do those. You don't need to recite mantras and do that. Just wake up to your original nature. And that's the same message as Zen. It's just in a different language. I find it more fluid and more feminine and more accessible. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jikoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jikoji, please visit us on the web at jikoji.org.